You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. As we begin a new week, it is March 26th, 2018, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Well, taking our attention away from football, the Final Four is set. We have the Cinderella, Loyola of Chicago, with Sister Jean. We have the Michigan team with the coach who always seems to get the most out of his team in March, with Coach John Beilein. You have the Villanova team, which has become a power over the last few years, and the traditional power, Kansas. So, exciting weekend next weekend in the world of college basketball, but of course, we're here to talk about the Jets. And over the weekend, the storylines were dominated by a star defensive lineman, Ndamukong Suh, the former Lions and Dolphins defensive tackle. News broke Friday that the Jets were aggressively bidding for Suh. They were very interested in his services, and in fact, one report indicated they had actually made the highest offer for Suh, even though he had no visit scheduled with the Jets. So, spent a couple days wondering what was happening on the Suh front, and then Sunday, news came out that the Jets had pulled their offer, to Suh, which was reportedly the biggest offer any team had made, was off the table. And word came out later on Sunday that the Jets had set a deadline on their offer. And it seems to me that the Jets did not want Suh to use them as leverage. That they felt that Suh was just using them to help increase his offers from other teams. That Suh really had no intention. He was just, when he was negotiating with other teams, he said, well, the Jets have this offer, even though he had no intention of going to the Jets. So that's why the Jets put the deadline on there, because Jets were essentially saying, hey, you know what? We're making a good offer. You either want to be here or you don't. And Suh apparently did not. You know, the Jets said, we made you the highest offer. Are you coming? And Suh was not. And I'll tell you, there was just something that seemed off about the Jets' pursuit of Suh to me. And I can't figure out what it is, because he's obviously a star-level player. And he's still playing at a very high level. And I think what it came down to for me is that this guy just seems so against what the Jets are doing. You know, he's a guy on the wrong side of 30. He's high priced. There are rumblings that he's not the easiest guy in the locker room. So, you know, you're rebuilding with a young roster. Is he the guy you want around? Just seems like this was not the right guy at the right time for the Jets. He'll go somewhere else. He'll still probably play very well. And the one thing I'll say is, once again, and I've been saying it a bunch this offseason, is I do like the way the Jets approached it, the fact that the Jets were not going to allow themselves to be used as leverage, the fact that they told Suh, you know, this is a good offer here, you can take it or leave it, but we're not going to stand around waiting. You know, we're not going to just let you use us as leverage with other teams. So I like that approach, and the Jets still have some questions on the defensive line. And that's actually where we'll talk about our show today. We're going to talk about the offseason so far. And I'll give you two positions where I think the Jets are now going to be expecting more out of incumbents based on the results so far. And then two positions where, based on what they've done, maybe some of the incumbents have reduced roles and potentially could even be on their way out of town, perhaps. And we'll start with the positions where incumbents may need to step up, and we'll start on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll go right to what we were talking about, and that is on the defensive line. And before we jump into this, one thing I will point out is that there still is some offseason left to play. There still are some free agents who may be signed. There still might be some trades to make, and of course the NFL draft awaits, so maybe the Jets pick players who can help them out, but I'm talking about where things stand right now. And where things stand right now is on the defensive line. Jets have some question marks, and it looks like they might be asking guys who were incumbents to take on bigger roles. Last year, Of course, the Jets had Muhammad Wilkerson as a starter for a good portion of the season, although he ended up being benched for around a quarter of the games because of a couple different instances where he could not get to meetings on time. So Jets cut Wilkerson. It was an obvious move. They could not possibly justify paying him a $20 million cap hit, or at least they could not justify him counting $20 million against the cap. They have not really made a big move now that Sue is off the table, and I don't blame them for Sue, but it looks like they may be looking at addressing that position internally. So it could be a couple defensive linemen who had reserve roles last year, and the guys I have my eye on are one, Mike Pinnell, who I thought did actually a really solid job last year, and this is something I've said, is Pinnell is best known for a couple of really bad penalties he took, one of which was a killer against Carolina, and that position that he plays is not one where you really stick out for good reasons. When you're doing your job, you're kind of tying guys up, you're kind of setting other players up to make tackles, keeping them clean, keeping the linebackers from having to shed blocks. And I thought he did a good job last year. So maybe, and the Jets actually gave him a nice raise. I was surprised how much Pinnell made. So I think the Jets might be looking at him for a bigger role this year. And I think, you know, he's got a shot to do a good job. I think it could work out. And the other guy I have my eye on is Xavier Cooper, who was one of the big beneficiaries of Wilkerson's benching last year. He ended up getting starter level snaps last 2 to 3 weeks of the season when Wilkerson was out. Somebody had to step in, and again, a guy I thought did a pretty solid job. I thought, this is not a position where you see guys typically take over games unless you're talking about like the real superstar level players, but I thought Cooper quietly did a pretty solid job. I thought he was a guy who came to the team during the season. He picked things up pretty quickly, and he acquitted himself quite well, I thought. So I think that you'll probably be looking at maybe more of a rotation than you'll be looking at a guy like Wilkerson who's going to play a good chunk of the snaps. And you know, one other thing to remember about Cooper is that he helped to set up Leonard Williams' interception against the Saints, which is always an exciting play whenever you have a guy who can help set up a big man interception. So good stuff there. I think you might be looking, instead of one starter, maybe a Cooper Pinnell, maybe you add another guy into the mix who will be part of a rotation. They may do it by committee, splitting snaps up front. So I think that's one spot where the incumbents may take on a bigger role. Second spot I'm looking at the moment would be tight end, and I think it might even be a stretch to call Jordan Legge an incumbent. He, of course, was a third-day draft pick by the Jets last year. He missed the entire season due to injury. He was a guy who always had kind of a reputation for being an underachiever in college, and I'll even say that I remember when I was watching him in college, and this is before the Jets drafted him, I was always very underwhelmed by him, and I was actually shocked to find out how big he was, because he never asserted himself during college games. I could not believe that he was actually a guy who had the size to be a big tight end in this league. I thought he was more of a H-back type, you know, a guy who's just a pure receiver who bases himself purely on athletic ability. But he's actually a guy who might have the size to be a regular inline tight end and a pass-catching threat. The Jets will be looking to replace Austin Seferian Jenkins, who, of course, signed with Jacksonville. And another guy who could see more playing time is Eric Tomlinson, who, of course, did a good job as a blocker last year. And I've said this before, you watch Tomlinson at the end of 2016. I remember I watched some of the film on these games, and I remember saying, like, who is that 83 guy? That guy's one of the worst players I've ever seen. And it's a credit to Tomlinson that over the course of an offseason, he clearly worked hard and he honed his craft and did a good job. Now, Tomlinson doesn't give you all that much as a receiver. He is a guy who caught a couple passes last year, but, I mean, some of his biggest plays, the defense didn't even cover him. The defense forgot to cover him. So you may see more of him this year. The Jets may hope he develops a little more as a receiver. I think Leggett, at this point, looks like he's going to be taking on a bigger role, and there is some risk in that. I think there certainly is some risk in that. You think about Leggett, and I don't like the whole idea about this guy's a rookie. This guy's basically a rookie if you don't play your rookie year, because even if you're sitting on the bench, you're still working in practice. You still have a lot of things under your belt. You're observing during games. You know, you usually get some action. So I never like it when people say that, and I don't agree with it in most cases when people say, well, that guy's really just a rookie because he hasn't played in games, because there's more to it than playing in games. But Leggett was banged up last year, which means he didn't get that practice time. So that means he really is kind of a rookie. You know, he's still developmentally a guy who needs to come along. And tight end's one of the longest positions. It's one of the positions where there's one of the longest learning curves. So it's a lot to ask Leggett to go in immediately and play effectively. Now, the one thing I'll say is that he's not replacing a lot of production. So can you ask him to go get 357 yards? Well, that might not be such a tall order. And the other thing you have to remember is that the Jets may, you know, those 357 yards Seferian Jenkins got, you don't necessarily need to fill them only by the tight end position either. You can spread that around. Maybe back picks up a few more yards. Maybe you get more out of your receivers, 100 yards or so more out of your receivers. So you're not necessarily saying that you need to replace all of Seferian Jenkins' production with a receiver and with the tight end, I'm sorry. And even if you do, he really was not. I mean, he had a good start to the season, but he really tailed off near the end. And that's, again, I go back to what I always say is sometimes first impressions really stick in your mind. And Seferian Jenkins got off to a good start last year and then really tailed off. So Leggett may be asked to take on a bigger role in Tomlinson, and we'll see what else the Jets have at the position. So I think those are the two spots where you could see incumbents take on a bigger role, incumbent backups, incumbent depth guys who will take on a bigger role with this team in the year 2018. Now, how about positions where incumbent players may take a step back? And again, we'll go one offense, one defense. We'll start again on defense. And I think pretty clearly the cornerback position is one of those spots where you do actually have two incumbents who will be back. It looks like Maurice Claiborne and Buster Skrine, but the third guy who was signed, Trumaine Johnson, knocked some guys down the depth chart, presumably. And three guys who really kind of jump out, Rashard Robinson, Justin Burris, Darrell Roberts, who really are not going to have much of a role now. In today's NFL, you really have three starting corners, and now Johnson, Claiborne, Skrine in the mix. Doesn't leave much spot for these other guys. Robinson was a guy the Jets acquired in season last year from the San Francisco 49ers for a fifth-round pick, and at this point, after the moves the Jets made during the offseason, you wonder why they made that trade. And I was kind of wondering why they made it at the time, because Robinson did not profile like a very good player. Now they've given a fifth-round pick for a guy who doesn't seem to be in their plans this year. You know, I figured at the time they were going to work with him this offseason and had something more in mind. At this point, he looks like he's just going to be a depth guy competing for a dime spot. So we'll see what happens there. Not totally encouraging, though, you'd have to say. Also not encouraging is Justin Burris, who early in the year got playing time and quickly played himself out of it. He was a guy people had high hopes for. He was relatively solid near the end of 2016, which did raise some hopes. Solid is a relative term, of course, and I used the term relatively solid for a reason. And that's because you expect very little out of fourth-round rookies. So the fact that Burris even showed you a pulse was a plus for him, and it just did not translate. He did not develop much in year two and was benched pretty early. The Jets changed their plans to give him a big role pretty early in the season because he really did not show much ability to cover. And then the third guy, Darrell Roberts, who was kind of a flyer. I think people were probably a little more excited about Roberts than they should have been, because you always like to think that you got a guy from New England with talent. Maybe you can turn somebody around that the Pats had no use for, and that would feel good. And he has a few moments. He's actually not, you know, I don't think he's a terrible dime back. I don't think he's a terrible depth player. He can step in every now and then, play you a decent game, but I think ultimately he gets exposed. He just plays, his coverage is too soft. So I think with good reason these guys are taking a step back. That makes sense. You know, these are not guys you necessarily want in starting roles. You know, it's unfortunate for the Jets that they've used some resources to bring two of the three guys in. They used a fifth-round pick to trade for Robinson. They used a fourth-round pick on Burris. You know, and we're not talking about the biggest assets in the world, but these are assets. So, you know, it's not great that you use them. And at this point, it looks like they're not really going to amount to anything, but that's where you are. At least these guys are not going to be seeing more playing time just because the Jets gave up those assets to get them. At least it's going to be based on talent, and the lack of production means that the Jets looked in a different direction. And then on the offensive side of the ball, and this is one where this is speculative, but it could be wide receiver position. And the guy I have in mind is Jermaine Kearse, who could still be part of the team, and I think probably will be part of the team. The thing that brings that into question a little bit is Terrell Pryor and the receiver the Jets signed last week. We don't really know, and we talked about this on the show last week when the Jets made the signing. We don't really know where the Jets' heads are at on the Pryor signing, but there's a scenario where Kearse could be off the team. Now, if in a world where Robbie Anderson gets his legal situation resolved and no suspension, and you feel like, you know, you don't have any worries there, in a world where Quincy Enunwa is healthy, totally healthy, and in a world where Terrell Pryor looks like he's recaptured that 2016 form that led to 1,000 yards, Kearse doesn't really have a spot on this team. You know, he really doesn't. I mean, are you going to pay $5 million for a number four receiver? That's not a good use of resource. It's not a good use of a roster spot, which could be, you know, the bottom of the roster should be used to develop young players, give young players practice reps, develop them. You should not have expensive old guys there or older guys. The Kearse isn't old, but he's not young either. So there's a scenario now where he takes a step back, and there's even a scenario where he's off the team. Now, I think Kearse may end up keeping the same role because we don't know what Pryor's going to be. If we see Washington Pryor, and Pryor was banged up in Washington, but it was not just the injuries. We see Washington Pryor, Kearse is going to be ahead of him on the depth chart. And if Anderson's situation does not get behind him before the season, and it may not even be possible for Anderson to get all the question marks surrounding him done before the season, or if Enunwa is still dealing with the injury, if it has impacted them, Kearse is going to be a guy that the Jets will want to keep around. So I think he's probably still around. The question is his role going to be reduced? I just think there are more questions around him than there were. And I don't think it's necessarily the most likely scenario that the Jets get all these questions solved and all these things behind them. But there's at least a plausible path now to really reduce Kearse's impact with the team, perhaps all the way down to letting him go, which I don't think it would come to that because I'm not sure the Jets can get all their questions resolved, but you now see a pathway where maybe Kearse takes on less at the very least. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. You can do so on iTunes or Spotify. And if you do enjoy it, give the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday.